Looking back at your career in the United Farm Workers Union, in what ways had it been satisfying to you?
Well, see, I found an outlet of my reactions to what is going on, and it's kind of natural that people, you know, believe in something, and also wants to give out their impressions.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I said, in the trouble that I made, going speaking was a great satisfaction for me.
Mm-hmm.
But the trouble there is that I don't think it was really appreciated by my fellow officers, you know. Because sometimes I think I was in a place where we also speak together and so on and that. And I didn't see some kind of appreciation or desire for them to be glad that I was there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now, of course I might be mistaken or not, but it has been the reaction that I've seen from time to time. That's the only thing that I feel sorry for it. But as far as being in the union, you know, I also believe that the union was an answer to my search for some kind of a liberate for workers in getting together to gain more wages, you know, and increase in wages and better living conditions and possible some kind of other benefits like pensions or anything for workers. Mm-hmm. There will be a time that when they get old and they cannot work anymore and they need that, you know, security when they will be old. And I was glad about those principles. And that's what really drove me to the union. Now, I seem to think that if I didn't get into the union, probably I got into business in a small way, you know, try anyway, you know, because I was not in business then. But when the union got in, well, the pull of the union was greater than the pull of my interest to make a few dollars. So there you are. And of course, the union is no guarantee for success in providing some security for the future for anybody, you know. While business sometimes, of course, business is a number two. There's no guarantee either if you will succeed or not. But at least you put your effort to provide for future security. While the union, you also expect or hope for collective security, which did not happen in the Farm Workers Union. Because in the Farm Workers Union, you know, when you are already old and you are no longer a member, you got nothing to do with the union anymore. And there is no pension provided, and the pension they're talking about, you know, it's well, I don't know, some got it, some didn't. And it seems to me that we expanded too fast, and we did not take care of in consolidating our forces in the area of Pilano or Kankata, or, you know, in the surrounding areas, you know, before we went so far, you know. But then when we went too far, you see, we hit too many growers and so on and that, and then they get together and we have a harder time to face them and get their consent of the things that we want to have in the union. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there are two sides of the thing. That it gave me some kind of satisfaction, and most important thing that kept me in the union was my opportunity to go and speak to these colleges and universities, because I felt that talking to the young was more important than talking to these old leaders in these unions, you know, because they're too conservative. And I was looking at the future, really. And to me, it was the young generation was the future. And that was the brighter side of it. But it's only a hope, you know. But in the other side, I gave up my opportunity to put up a few dollars for the future, and because of the union, I said. So that two sides of it. I really cannot deny that I enjoyed it. At the same time, I also suffered. So I paid for it with God. And then, in the long run, I think it's very disadvantageous to the union to engage the younger people to come to the union, because now they see that there is no benefit. You know, you don't know, you know, this struggle of the union, you can never tell when you will get the benefits. And if you get a little bit, well, you only spend quite a bit also. And then, of course, the progress of the union, sometimes you are not making progress, and sometimes you get drawbacks, and then here you come and jump and get some big things for the union, you know. So that's the way it is. So that it also, I think, has something to do with the political process. And whoever will be in position to help, then you may make more progress. Or if you will have somebody who is against, like the governors, you know, and so on like that, then it kind of push you back. So that's the thing. And also the time. It's true that the former union were kind of thrown back because of this foreign labor. That was true. And now, like for instance, during the braceros, the Mexican importation of labor. Well, you cannot put up the union. because the government of the United States have been importing labor for the growers, and the growers, you know, did not want the local people to be organized. So those are the handicaps. And then, as I said, the political personnel there, parties were there, and usually when you have a Republican, you know, it's always for the big business and it's against labor, you see. So you could see that during the time of Reagan, and the time of Luke Majan, and the time of President Reagan, they were all against union. So we have a great rubric. But then we also have some men, influential people in Congress and so on and that, who were also fighting for us. So it is a kind of complicated thing. The economic struggle becomes a political one.
Mm-hmm.
And they go side by side.
Yeah, you said something a while ago relative to your motivations in joining the union and in dedicating a lot of years of your life to the union. Could you go over this again? Your motivations
in
the union.
Okay. First of all, I think it should start from my family background. You know, fate had placed me in the poverty line, and that's why I came to the United States also, because I didn't have the means to continue my studies. And by the inspiration of our American teachers, I took a chance to come and supposed to continue my studies. But then, from being a student coming here,
mm-hmm.
I was really turned into labor,
mm-hmm.
because I had no money to depend on, and I came here for as a self-supporting student. I think that was true most of the Filipinos who came in, except those people who luckily belong to rich families in the Philippines, that they are getting their expenses from home,
mm-hmm.
you know. But most of the Filipinos that I know, they have been supporting students. They have been in the cities. They have been working as busboys and dishwashers and waiters. And then the first job that I got in the Costco Post Washington was in the box factory. And there was a guy who was going to school also. So that's the way the Filipinos got educated a little bit here in the Philippines. And very few succeeded to have degrees. And then the handicap again was that we were not eligible for citizenship.
Yeah, but now how does that translate to your motivation?
I became a laborer,
uh-huh.
unschooled laborer, you know. I read quite a bit about unionism in the public library, and I listen so much, like this John Lewis of the Mine Workers Christian Union,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so on and that. And it seems to me that they touch me, because they're talking about laboring people. And then I begin to sense that the labor union is organizing workers to have a leverage for bargaining.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that being an individual, I cannot bargain with my employer, because he's going to fire me, you know. But in the union, then they teach that, they say that to get the workers, you know. So I seems to believe that, and so it has something to do about my getting to the union.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I believe in the unionism, the putting together workers to bargain with their employers.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I can end. So when I was in the city in Chicago, I became a member of the hotel and restaurants union. I forgot the name number they put that. There's a name for it.
Mm-hmm.
Altogether, you know, it includes hotels and restaurants. Yeah. So that was the way I was in. I got no choice but being in the union.
So its attraction was that it enabled the working man to bargain with his employer for fairer and
benefits, isn't it?
Yeah,
wages yeah.
And conditions of working.
Yeah.
So that when you join the union then in 1963 or 64 or whenever you first joined AWOC,
yeah.
It was with the hope that the union will be able to do that.
Oh, yeah.
To improve the working conditions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Of course, that's the hope of workers who join the union. But the only thing was that, don't forget that the union is also led by human beings, who are also subject to greed, corruption, and so on and on. That's the drawback of union.
Mm-hmm.
The leaders are not really honest of what they're saying sometimes. They are with the employees by buying them off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And now, of course, as I said before, that the union in a bigger scale seems to me is an instrument of balance, because there is no limit for the greed of employers,
mm-hmm.
of big business, you know, but a collective bargaining for workers balance that greed, because you got to have both. You got to have the capital investment, which is led by the employees, and then you got to have labor to produce it. Without, I say, one cannot exist without the other. So the only way to have more benefits that the workers really deserve is to have a collective bargaining agency to bargain for them. Now, the advantage of that is that when you are in a union, you can hire your lawyers to talk for you, because they know the laws. But if you are only a single individual, you don't know anything. You don't even know your rights. You know, how could you bargain? And even, you know, if you are only one, you are too weak. Yeah. So that's the motive right there. I was sold to that principle.
If you were to look back at the whole thing, your whole career now, what would you say were the two or three proud things, accomplishments, shall we say, that you made in the union, or that you contributed to the union effort?
Well, I really don't know. But it seems to me that even I was kind of charge by Cesar Chavez, you know, the implication, the way he talks, was I was not doing anything because I don't have any assignment. I was busy. See, the only thing I did not have was, for instance, he assigned some of my fellow workers, union members, to a certain area or city to establish an office there, or the all for those people there, union and churches, for the boycott. Now, what were they doing? They were also talking. You know, they got their meetings and stuff like that. I have been all over the country talking about the boycott, about the grapes. Boycott grapes, you know. And I was not only talking to a few people, I was talking to Rawlis. I've been talking to classes in the universities, you know. And to me, it looked like I talked to more people than most of them who went to the boycott. When I was talking boycott, now how come these people say that I didn't do anything about boycott? Or what happened about this talk that I have made?
Well, did he say that you did not do any boycott?
Well,
any
he said you don't have any assignment.
Oh, I see. All right. I see.
All right. When, yeah. The caravan came in, I was talking to the people who were coming, and they needed somebody to talk to them, you know?
You mean to receive them and
yeah.
properly acknowledge
because they
their
they brought money, they brought goods, canfolds and clothes and all that thing, you know? So what's that? Isn't that a part of the movement for boycott?
Right.
They were there because of the boycott. You know, no, is that nothing? And then after that, they were not satisfied. I have been invited, you know, just one or two times or three times in one place. Repeatedly, they have been invited. Even people who didn't see me, never met me, they wanted me there. And I was talking about boycott. Yeah.
Yeah. And
isn't that a contribution?
That's right. That's
you see?
Right. Well, it would seem to me like it is. And I guess the main thing in the way the question was asked is in terms of what you are proud, the contribution
well,
that you are proud of in the union. So from the way you are, from your discussion, then this is one of the areas of service to the union that you are
yeah.
very proud about.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. But well, I mean, you, personally.
I don't know if I should be proud, but I have a great satisfaction.
Okay.
For
it. All right.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
I
right.
do not say it, but because yeah. I feel that I should not be bragging, you know.
Right.
And it might have some kind of adverse effect.
Well, satisfaction
yeah.
then is the way.
Yeah,
okay.
I really enjoy the great satisfaction of what I did.
Okay.
Otherwise, I quit, you know. But I kept going. I kept going for years, you know. So it hurts me when Caesar said or implied that I have not done anything. See, now, you know what Elisha said? When I was grilled there in the last meeting in La Paz, he came to me and he said, really, I don't know what you have done. He told me, you know? So they don't have much respect for me because in their own assessment, I have not done anything. So. Now, what about the people that have been coming to the Rhino, fill the hall, and I have been speaking to them, I get ovation, so on like that. Did not that kind of bolster their support? Because I was enunciating the motives and goals of the union, and so on like that, you know. Well, I wish I was more articulate. And I wish I have gone more to school, so I should have more, you know, I should have been more expressive and using the right terms. But I thought I was understood because I saw the reaction. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was very hurting the way Cesar was talking, you know. And the others, like Alessio, you know, it's hard. And then, as I said, here the Filipino side, the Filipinos themselves did not appreciate me, but they would rather hide things from me, you know. There what I was saying about the conflicts within the Filipinos and also in the Mexicans and the volunteers and all like that. And that makes it, you know, kind of, well, making everybody awake, but at the same time, the problems, you know.
Yeah.
The problems. Sometimes you use a lot of time to figure out. You cannot get to the main thing.
Well, you covered or discussed motivations, and you discussed your satisfaction in the union.
Let me add that I really don't regret. Mm-hmm. I know what I was doing, and I was happy to a certain extent that I got an outlet of my thoughts. Mm-hmm. You know, otherwise, as I said before, that it was very hard for me to talk to our Filipino brothers in the field because they weren't interested in what I was talking about, you know. So it gave me some kind of satisfaction there. And in the other hand, I have lost that economic opportunity to have a few dollars more for my old age. That's the loss I got. Or you might say the price I paid for my satisfaction for intellectual activities and development. You know.
Mm-hmm.